Okay, good afternoon, everybody. It is kind of late. I thought that nobody was going to show up. So on behalf of my colleagues here, thank you for being here. We are going to try to do the best to keep you awake, and we know that it's going to be hard not to have dinner, not think about dinner while we are talking. So here we are. I have no relationships to disclose, and I have no money invested anywhere. I only work for public health. my name is Magali Angeloni, and I work for the Rhode Island Department of Health, and today we're going to share with you the story about how we are supporting the training of quality improvement. And I want to tell you a little bit about Rhode Island first because, you know that we are called, Rhode Island is called the Ocean State. How many of those of you knew that? Okay, a couple of people. Yeah, you knew that it's called the Ocean State. So we have a population of only 1 million, and that is as many people as other counties have in other states. So Rhode Island is a very unique place. We have no local or tribal health departments, and we have about 430 employees. We are all together in, like, two buildings, including one building that is the laboratory, and they have the medical examiner's office as well. Our budget is about $110 million, and we are currently going through the public health accreditation process. And what you see in the back, that's the state house, that's where the governor's office is, and we will have a new governor in January. So what I'm going to talk to you about is about quality improvement. So what happened before in Rhode Island, that is at the Department of Health? So prior to 2011, in Rhode Island, we had some knowledge of quality improvement. There was, to my knowledge at that time, we didn't have QI talking about at the national level. There was no public health accreditation program. I mean, at that point, we were just talking about it. We didn't have a specific funding. We were, somehow aware of that. There was only a couple of programs in the department that have some quality improvement projects that they were working with, mostly with external partners on QI. So since 2011, as you know, the Public Health Accreditation Program was launched in September, and then with that, there was a lot of the funding that came through the CDC, and that is how performance improvement managers, people like me, were funded to work at agencies. And not only that, but we also received a lot of training about how we were going to be able to, to move our agencies to apply for accreditation. So just around that time is when we have also a new director of the department who became very, very interested in us moving through accreditation, and that's when we actually formally started our journey through quality improvement. So when I came to, I was working in the department already for a while. I mean, I've been there for 21 years, but I thought that this job was really interesting. So one of the first things that I put together was this logic model to figure out what it is that we were going to do and what was the ultimate goal of going through this journey. And as you notice, what I put together here is that one of the goals ultimately was to become accredited, but mainly what I have in red there is that there will be a culture of quality improvement in the department. That is what I had put forward from the beginning, and I said, this is what we are going to work to. I have no idea how we were going to do it, by the way, but that was the goal. The performance improvement managers came in, got a lot of training, got a lot of support. There was a lot of technical assistance offer and everything, and they said, well, you have to go do quality improvement, and CDC gave us technical assistance. So we requested, and they sent somebody from the Public Health Foundation, that's the PHF. They sent somebody from the Public Health Foundation to provide the training for the first time. My director was very, very interested in getting the trainer's training because he didn't want to have a training, need every single time, and he basically requested that, and that was approved. And because we requested the train-the-trainers model, they only let us have, 14 people at that training. So we selected those 14 individuals, and we went through 4 full days of training. There were 2 full days, and then after 2 weeks, there were the other 2 full days. Each one of those individuals who attended had already identified a QI project that they were going to do, because that was the other thing that the director wanted to have. He reviewed personally each one of the projects and approved it before we went into the training. And that's how basically that happened. So we had the training in like the summer of 2012, and then we were supposed to complete it like by March of 2013. So then we had about like six, seven months or something like that to complete our project. So by April of 2013, this is all like at the beginning, this is the first time that we did it. So we, you know, I thought that we should have some sort of forum to present the QI project, and then we did it at National Public Health Week, which is in April, and we exhibited all of the projects, the ones that were in progress and the ones that were completed, although initially I thought that everybody was going to be done with the projects, but some of them didn't. In any case, we had the QI fair, we got all the posters, everybody had to do a poster, and we exhibited, we invited everyone from staff, and then we gave them a medal that says, you are now a QI champion, and our director is there with the arrow. And so he came and he gave everybody the QI champion medal, and that's what happened. So it was a very good process. So, but at the same time, we needed to develop the QI plan, and at that moment, again, I was thinking, so how are we going to do this? So this is what I proposed right at that moment, that even before we completed the first project, was that QI Team 1 is the one that received the trainer's medal. By the way, can everybody hear me? Yeah? Okay. So QI Team 1 is the one that received the trainer's medal. We figured that they will be done by 2013, and then there will be QI Team 2. They will train the Team 2, and then Team 2 will eventually finish the projects, will train Team 3, and then by the time it's time again for the Team 1 again, we will get the trainers training for them. That's how I kind of propose it. I figure that we can do it for a couple of years, but eventually we will need to have a fresh new training for the new group. So I wrote it like that, and that's what we put it in the QI plan. So anyway, but what happened is that in the meantime, well, here it is the time for the training, and then what am I going to do? How are we going to do it? And, you know, we received the four-day training, and that's not what we were going to do for everybody else. So I had this matrix with the options. Well, what we wanted to do is sustain it, and we wanted to make sure that, you know, the good thing if we did it was that there would be an opportunity to build capacity in our own department. So we didn't have to go through, you know, every year to get a new trainer, to pay more money, or to request CDC to give us additional assistance and to send somebody else because everything was too complicated. But on the other hand, who is going to do it? Everybody has so much on their plate, right? I mean, that's what I hear all the time when I request a new project or I said, oh, I want to do this. Well, nobody has the time. I have all of these things going on, so how are we going to do it? So I had basically considered these three things. So where's the expertise going to come from? Was it internal? We were going to request it, and from where? What is the content? So how is, you know, what is the curriculum? What are the tools? How are we going to do it? And then the format. Are we going to take them, you know, for 2 days, 1 day, five half days, or whatever? Everything was basically up in the air, and there were pros and cons of each one of them. In the end, what I'm going to show you right now is basically what ended up happening. So training Team 1. So this is, you know, there was some interest in QI we haven't really measured before that. And CDC funded the training. The provider was, as I said, the Public Health Foundation. There were 14 people who were trained. Each person was responsible to do one project. And the projects were personally approved by the director. It was off-site for full days, a total of 28 hours, 2 weeks apart, and all of the materials came from the Public Health Foundation, including the templates, you know, the QI, the aim statement, and things like that. Everything came from there. That's Team 1. We did a little bit of an evaluation at that moment, but it was a little bit different than the others. And people basically said that, you know, that they really, really liked the experience. They were excited about it, but they were concerned about the fact that will they have time to do this? How is that going to work? Are the supervisors going to really provide the support for them to be successful? This was the first time around, so we didn't know how it was going to work. So here we were ready now to provide training for Team 2. By that time, I had already instituted like an annual survey because I wanted to find out what do people think about QI. And the first survey that we did, they had said that, you know, their interest for quality improvement had increased. What we did for the second time around was that we took all of the slides from the Public Health Foundation. We selected the ones that we thought it was going to be more valuable. All of the examples of like the fishbone and you know, and all of the tools that they had given us, we changed them for with the examples that we use in our first team. So then we were familiar with what happened and we could talk about each one of the examples. And we invited a lot of other people to attend the training, and we told them, hey, you know, even if you're not going to do a QI project today, you can attend the training. So 30 people came to the training, but only 16 were actually people who were going to do their own projects. I asked them to bring a proposal for the project, even though, you know, I knew that I was going to change a little bit, but I wanted them to, you know, to at least have it. And we had, like, you know, an off-site one day, you know, on-site another day. So there were 2 half-days, a total of 8 hours. And like I said, we reviewed a little bit the tools that, you know, from the materials that we received. Pretty much people were very happy with it. They thought that the content was presented effectively. We did a lot of work to make it interactive because we didn't want people to fall asleep. And I even, you know, throughout the training, I had these bowls that were like the stress relievers. And then I said, you know, the person who's going to fall asleep, I'm going to throw this, you know. And then they were like very alert because of that. So anyway, so they gave me some comments. They said that we should try to do incentive credit because it was already, you know, a lot of hours that they were there. And then that would have been another thing. We had a Jeopardy game and we were not sure about the rules. They told us that we could, you know, improve that. The next team came over, and then we were like thinking, well, you know, now we have some experience, but now what's going to happen? Well, again, you know, we decided that we were just going to do a mix. There were some people from the first year, some people from the second year who offered to do the training. We again went through the materials. We reviewed some of what we had. We added some more things. In the meantime, I had gone to more training. I had used, you know, I had learned about other tools like the brain writing and, you know, and some other stuff. So then we added more tools. We did that, and we had, again, 14 people working on projects and other people who came just because they wanted to see what was QI all about. The training was 9.5 hours, so there wasn't one day and then, you know, 3 workshops at different times. Because some of the feedback that they gave us was like, well, you know, if it's 2 days, it's too long. Why don't you do it in pieces and whatever? So we tried to do like every, you know, different things. And one thing that happened at this, you know, with the team 3 is that actually a couple of people from the department had gone and received training, you know, apart from that, because home visiting, this is the home visiting and the newborn screening programs, they wanted to do QI with the external partners, and they went to full training through the Center for Public Health Quality in North Carolina. They came up with, like, all of these new tools, and they, you know, and I contacted them, and I said, well, I love your project charter, and I want to use that, and they said, sure. And then they said, well, you know, but we also have these AIM statement and these other form, and then whatever. So then I added all of that to the training, and I didn't even tell, you know, the trainees that they were getting all these new tools. I just added to that. And then again, you know, they thought that it was, well, you know, they liked it, they thought it was interactive, and they are learning about it, but they felt that they want to have more time for some sections and so on. I think that, so anyway, so then it was, you know, so it was good. So this is basically, you know, if you look at it at the 3 teams that we have had the training, you know, about the time is about the same, you know, the same number of people who have been trained and have done projects over time, you know, in the 3 years. We are using the staff time, but then we have modified the content to put more of the tools and stuff. We had also modified the time at which we are doing it. We are now, the last year was 9.5 hours, a little more time, but then we divided into like 3 workshops, so then people already came. You know, we didn't need them to be concentrated, you know, in like 1 or 2 days because that was part of the feedback. But a couple of things have happened since then, because the training usually happens in the spring, and right now it's already November, right? So then in 2014, this year, as I said, the Center for Public Health Quality had provided us some of the tools, and they also came to give us a training, and they gave us a lot more on, in other issues. So that was very helpful. And at the same time, I learned that another sister agency had been receiving training on the Kaizen methods. And I told them, well, I have to go. I want to go and attend that training. They have been paying a consultant, a local consultant, for that training. So I took a small group from us. I said, who is interested? And like about five of us went and received the Kaizen training. I also got CDC because, as you know, the funding from CDC was ending. So then I said, well, can you give me, you know, like send somebody to do a Kaizen project, use the Kaizen methodology for a project? And they did. And I was there with the same group. So we were learning all of the Kaizen projects. I came back to the office and I said, I'm going to do that for somebody else. So if somebody else has a project that I could use the Kaizen, I will do it. And there was somebody who was willing to do that. So I started. So I am in the process, actually, to do that Kaizen event with the little experience that, you know, from what we saw, from what we read, from what we have seen on the videos and all of that. And, you know, so we are doing the Kaizen board. And I don't know if you are familiar with it, but that's part of what I learned from this other agency when we got to the training. We are using the brain writing. We are using the standard work information sheet. And all of that has happened just in the last couple of months. So what do we have from here? Well, I really feel like now I need to have a QI council. Initially, I didn't think that that was going to, you know, that I needed to do that. But right now, because of the Kaizen, because of we are really moving along, and, you know, I feel like I need to have a group of people who's going to help me think about and develop policy in QI and help me spread the word. So I already have the names of the people. I invited everybody who received the training in the last 3 years. And the right people applied and, you know, contacted me. So I have a QI council. We are going to do the QI fair, hopefully in other sites beyond our building, because there is the Rhode Island Public Health Association that, you know, that is interested. And there's also Brown University who want to know what we are doing in terms of QI. We want to continue to include some of the Kaizen tools. We videotape some of the training because some people couldn't make it to the training to see the tools and whatever. So I had an intern who came and videotaped, and we are going to put it in Train, the learning management system that maybe some of you are familiar with. So some of those videos are going to be in Train. So then if somebody wants to know more about like the fishbone or the brain writing or something like that, then they can see that video. It will be like, you know, like half an hour video or something like that. So all of that is sort of in the progress. And we are also looking at the culture of quality. You have seen the roadmap to quality, you know, that assessment that NACHO has, and it has the six phases of quality. I am really now thinking about how are we going to know that, in fact, we are making progress. And they have like a nice sort of theory, you know, that has the phases when you are at the beginning and if you already have it, you know, agency-wide or whatever. So I'm working with an epidemiologist to develop the question so that we can conduct a survey and then we can ask people where do they feel that they are in terms of QI. So anyway, and also we, you know, the other thing that was concerning now that I am at this stage of QI, the other thing that was concerning is that some projects were done, they were completed, and, you know, they made progress. But after that, after the project was completed and the poster was exhibited, then they dropped it. So I said, well, it's like me telling my teenage daughter, you cleaned the room this weekend, but then on Monday she comes back and she throws everything again all over the place. So then we haven't really made a difference. We need to sustain it, and we need to make sure that she's always going to keep clean the room, I mean, not just one day. So I want to include some of the measures in each QI project in our monthly dashboard report. So I told them that now every QI project is going to have to, or most of them anyway, I will take those measures and I will include them in the dashboard so that we can monitor them, you know, continuously. Otherwise, we haven't really made a difference. So anyway, what are the successes? I believe in the staff development. I think that if we don't provide the training to our own, then we are not doing the right thing. So there is more internal capacity. I also think that one of the not planned benefits of all of this is that people in the department, they are starting to feel like they know more about the other programs. They have established a new network. A lot of the people that came to the training, they didn't even know each other. They didn't even know what the program does. And, you know, so that is something that has helped the agency. They are learning more about the department. They are getting the new tools and methods. They felt that the time between sessions, you know, it helps the practice. And basically QI, this QI training has become an actual quality improvement project, because I have improved it at every step of the way, and I kind of already have a few other things that I would like to do in the future. So the challenges, of course, competing priorities. Everything is that, well, it's Ebola now, I can't do anything, so come back to me later. You know, there is a lot of support from the top. Everybody says, yes, we believe in QI and quality improvement, Magali. And then the people at the bottom, they said, oh, I'd love to do that. Can I do that? But it's the middle managers. They are like, well, we don't have the time right now. We don't have the time. So that is a challenge. The funding, you know, where are we going to get the funding? If I want to send like 3 or 4 people for more training to get a certification that they have in North Carolina, well, it costs money. CDC doesn't have the money anymore for performance improvement, so that's an issue. And maintaining the support is a challenge. So I think that if you are, you know, if you do variety of efforts, it may be helpful. But anyway, so I have a few things. When I wrote the QI plan, I developed these 4 measures, and I said that this is like the 4 things that I was going to look at as I move forward with the project. So the percent of the staff training quality improvement, it has increased a little bit. However, I have to say this is only for the people who attend my training. Other people who have gone to training or in other places or before or whatever, that's not accounted for. So we need to take care of that. The percent of the projects completed, like I said, some people, you know, they came to the fair, they did the poster, and they felt, oh, I'm done. So they, most of them did not complete the project, and I am not happy about that. So I have to figure out how to do it. The percent of people attending the fair, again, not everybody came. Some people didn't know, and whatever. And the percent of the staff expressing support for QI, that's coming from the annual survey, that has also increased. So that's where we are. At this point, what we are thinking about is that in 2015, I already have a draft of the survey that we are going to send out, and it's basically going to be measuring the QI culture. That's what we are trying to do. We have developed a couple of questions that we are going to include every year, so then we can see where we stand. And if you have been to Providence or have heard about, there is water fire right in downtown, and that's a picture of it, so I want to make sure that I share it with you if you haven't seen about Providence water fire. It happens throughout the summer. They burn wood right in there. Thank you.